Hey, while you're finding your way back to your seat and hopefully warming up a little bit, if I haven't met you, my name is Dan, and I get to serve as one of the pastors around here. And as Jerry just mentioned, service is going to look a little bit different today. But he also mentioned that today marks the very beginning of the season of Advent. And that word Advent comes from a Latin word that simply means arrival. But in our context and in our tradition, wrapped up within that word is the idea of waiting with expectation. And we know what that's like, right? If you're a parent, you remember what it was like to wait with expectation and anticipation of the birth of your child or your children. And all of that is what's wrapped up in Advent. And as we count down the days until Christmas, excitement and anticipation start to build, right? Like, that's the point of those Advent calendars that Jerry was just talking about. My kids love the Lego ones, but that cat one, like he said, it's just a little too far, in my opinion. But the point of these Advent calendars is to get us excited about Christmas Day and all that comes along with it. The thing is, we are conditioned for excitement during this time of the year. And I think that's a really good thing. But for followers of Jesus, we need to remember that the excitement we feel as we get closer to Christmas is meant to point us to the birth of Jesus. It's meant to point us back to the birth of our Savior, our King, or as the prophet Isaiah referred to him, Emmanuel, God with us. And for hundreds of years in the church, we have recognized Advent as this time to reflect on Jesus' birth and all that he brought with him. It was a one-time event where he entered creation the same way all of us did. But he came with the intent and in order to make a way for all people to be made right with God. Every year at Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But as the late pastor Tim Keller reminds us, Christmas is not simply about his birth. It's also a time for us to celebrate his arrival as God in the flesh. And so what if this year, instead of just thinking about and reflecting on his arrival in Bethlehem, we anticipated his arrival in our lives today? From page 3 of the Bible, all of creation has been waiting for the day when God will restore his good creation to what it was always meant to be, a place where God and his image-bearing people can live together. In the beginning, God created everything by speaking it into existence. And when he reached a point of completion, being satisfied and filled with joy over his work, he called it very good. But it wasn't long before everything went sideways, when in one moment of Adam and Eve choosing to define right and wrong according to their terms instead of according to God's, everything changed. And despite the pain of their disobedience and the consequences of their sin, God made a promise to one day defeat the power of sin by sending a Savior. He promised to make all things right through a person. Genesis chapter 3 says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel.'" This is the very first place we read of God's promise to send a Savior who will crush the head of Satan, but who will also be wounded in the process. This is the very beginning of Advent, creation's longing for the arrival of God's promised Messiah. And from that point forward, every generation has experienced the effects of sin as people continue to choose their ways over God's. And as things continue to get worse and worse, creation's longing and expectation for a Savior grew more and more. And as the Old Testament story continues, there are glimmers of hope as God steps into the story and he acts on behalf of his people to save them and to guide them. But at the same time, there was this growing sense of darkness. And before long, it seemed as if God had forgotten his people and maybe even abandoned his plan. But God cannot forget his people and will always remain true to his word. And so 700 years before the arrival of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah declared these words of hope. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And when Isaiah spoke these words, it was a reminder of the promise that God made to send a savior, someone who would break the curse of sin and shine the light of life into creation. A light that is able to heal. A light that is able to restore peace and bring hope and joy and love. It's a light that changes everything. And so for generations, the people of Israel remembered God's promise and looked forward to the day when this Messiah would arrive. Because with him would come hope that sees beyond our current circumstances, love that doesn't have to be earned, joy in response to God's amazing gift of grace, and peace that comes through reconciliation when God makes everything complete. And all of this came in an unexpected way through Jesus, who is the Messiah. We call him Jesus. But his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, called him Yeshua, Hebrew for Yahweh saves. And every single time they spoke his name, it was a reminder of what the angels told them he was coming to do, that he will save his people from their sin. And in the same way that his arrival was unexpected, his life ushered in the coming of God's kingdom in a very unexpected way. In John chapter 8, Jesus boldly proclaimed, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus made it abundantly clear that anyone who will follow him will no longer walk in darkness. Because it's only through faith in Christ that we can enter into the light of life. Because it's only through Jesus that we can find salvation. And now in 2024, we still live in a world dealing with the effects of sin. The consequences of our sin play out in divided communities, broken homes, neglected children, abuse of all kinds, mistrust all over the place, and so much more. But because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we can find what the ancient Israelites looked forward to. We can find peace for our souls. We can find a life of joy, love that never ends, and hope that will not fade. You see, Advent isn't only about reflecting on Jesus' arrival in the manger. It's about anticipating his arrival in our lives today. And for some, that means finding salvation in him. For others, it's finding peace in the midst of chaos, joy in a time of hardship, feeling loved when you may feel alone, neglected, or abandoned. And it's about finding a source of hope when it feels like everything is falling apart. Jesus was the promised Messiah who came more than 2,000 years ago, and he is still the Messiah today. And that is where we can find hope. Henry Nouwen put it this way. He said, "The Lord is coming, always coming. When we have ears to hear and eyes to see, you will recognize him at any moment of your life. Life is Advent. Life is recognizing the coming of the Lord." And this leaves us asking the question, or maybe you already know, where do we need him to show up in our lives today? When we look at the story of the Old Testament, we read so many places where the people of Israel cried out to God, longing for him to intervene in their stories. And so many times he responds in so many different ways because of his great love. Listen to how the author of Psalm 22 put it. wrote, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. And maybe you have some very, very specific ways that you need God to show up in your story this season. Or maybe the only prayer you can muster right now is, Jesus, come find me. The truth is, all of us need more of Jesus every single day. And so we're gonna pause in our service right now. And we are gonna give you space to bring these things to God, to cry out to God, to ask God to intervene in however you need him to, or to simply say, Jesus, come find me. I can't do this on my own. And there's no wrong way to do this. You can sit in your chair and pray right there in your row. You can find a place in the room to kneel. You can get up and circle up with family and friends and pray for each other. Or you can find some of our staff and members of our prayer team in the room. But whatever way it is that you need him to show up in your life today, let him know what it is, because he's ready to hear it and he's ready to respond. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, you are so good, and we are so grateful that you sent your son to make a way. But God, all of us need you in our life. And all of us long for your arrival. God, meet us here. You see, Advent is about anticipating Jesus' arrival. And from the very moment that sin entered creation, we have been waiting for the day when God will restore all things. And because of the finished work of Jesus, that restoration has already begun. And as his followers living after the resurrection, we are living in a prolonged season of Advent, waiting for the day when he will return. Waiting for the day when Jesus will come back in victory and set all things right, the way God always intended them to be. Listen to how German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer describes this. He says, the Advent season is a season of waiting, but our whole life is an Advent season. That is, a season of waiting for the last Advent, for the time when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And because God was faithful to fulfill his promise of a savior by sending Jesus, we can trust in Jesus' promise that one day he will return. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. In the Gospel of Luke, he said, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift your head, because your redemption is drawing near. The Apostle Paul described this as waiting for the blessed hope. And the author of Hebrews says, Jesus will appear a second time to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. We can find hope in the promise that he will return. But listen to the way the Apostle John describes it. One of Jesus' closest friends and disciples said it this way, I heard a loud voice coming from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. This is what we hope for. The day when all who place their faith in Christ will dwell with God. a time when there will be no more mourning, no more crying. And scripture says there won't even be a need for the sun because Jesus will light all of creation. We long for and we hope for the day when all creation will be reconciled and made complete through Jesus, our wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, God with us. All of this is what's wrapped up in Advent, remembering our need for a Savior, celebrating that Jesus is that Savior, anticipating his current work in us, and hopefully looking forward to the day when he will return. And so for now, we wait. But waiting is not passive or complacent. As followers of Jesus, we have the distinct privilege of actively waiting and reflecting the praise of creation back to God with hopeful expectation of the day that he will return. What are you hoping for this Advent season? Where do you need God to step in and bring light and life and hope? He's ready. He wants to meet your needs this way. But until he comes again, we have the privilege to worship and praise him. Will you stand and pray with me? God Almighty, God, we are far more grateful than our words could ever express that you made a way for us to be right with you. That while we were still sinners, your son died for us. Thank you, Jesus, for the step that you took. Thank you for arriving. Thank you for stepping into creation. And thank you for stepping into our lives today. Long for the day that you will return, but in the meantime, God, we find our hope in you. We find our strength for today and our hope for tomorrow. And we praise you. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, who is the Messiah, that we pray. Amen.